Welcome, everyone, to the X Factor Files podcast. I'm Daryl.
I'm Philip.
We're back for Pride Month.
Yes.
I mean, we had a fantastic episode last week with Sarah Century.
Which was so much fun.
It really was. Enchantress. What an icon.
Just those languid poses.
Yes.
I don't know why, but languid is the word that comes to mind for her.
She is very relaxed.
Yes. Very sure of herself.
Yes. And
what are we sure of?
Well, we took a couple days off.
Yeah.
Did a lot of outdoor stuff yesterday.
Yeah, like another 4 hours worth of stuff.
Yeah, lots of mowing. I'm hoping to fix the riding lawnmower with the part that's coming from Amazon today.
Yeah, because most of that 4 hours you were mowing, and it's still only part.
Like, yeah, I'm
less than half?
About half of the front yard.
Right, so not including the back at all.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And not the trails. The poor trails have not been touched this year yet.
Oof.
Because we need to go and pick up sticks
yes,
to clear the way after we spray up with bug spray because ticks be ticking.
Yes. And mosquitoes be mosquitoing.
Yeah.
And I think we still need to take down, we can do that with loppers, I think, that last fallen tree.
Well, I have a chainsaw now.
You do.
So. Am I scared I'm going to chop off a foot? Absolutely.
Oh. That's why you get the heavy-duty boots.
I have those out in the garage.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
I freed up another part of the strip garden. It had been smothered for...
Which sounds a lot sexier than it is. It is just a strip of dirt.
Right. It was turned over when the gas line went in for the house, and it's like, oh, this could be a garden. And then the first year, it was just so overrun with weeds.
Yeah.
So, the method that we found works best for these sorts of things is smothering it with a double layer of the thick fabric,
mm-hmm.
like that landscaping fabric. And this area, like, it's not a big area, but it had been smothered for 2 years. So holes were forming and that awful grass was poking its way through. And there was just a web.
Madam Web? This web connects them all.
It really did. Like, you start pulling it up, it's like 2 feet of this rhizome,
yeah,
a horizontal stem, and if it found a hole it would send up grass blades, but otherwise it was layer upon layer of these terrible roots. So pulled all those up, put some edging in, we'll see if that does anything.
Yeah,
but it's a double layer, and yeah, it's going to be purple themed because Prairie Blazing Star is purple. Purple prairie clover, purple coneflower, and bee balm is usually purple. Mm,
all good things for pollinators.
Yes, the bees are going to love it. The only non-purple thing is Pearly Everlasting, which is a host plant for, I don't know, remember which butterfly, but one specific species needs Pearly Everlasting as a part of its life cycle.
Mm.
And then, yeah, hyssop. So the bumbles will be happy. There were two very large bumbles working on the Monarda this morning.
Oh, fun.
I'm hoping they were foundresses.
Mm.
So the bumbles that overwinter, they emerge, they eat, they create a new colony. And then they will end their life cycle in the fall after they have laid eggs for new foundresses to emerge.
I mean, I was mowing and a big bumble came out and two baby bumbles. They were very angry.
Oh, yes.
So I just moved on so that they can go back into their house in the ground.
The only time I was stung by a bee, at any sort of bee, was when I woke up a bumble from a nap because I pulled the flower that it was sitting in through a fence.
Yeah.
And it woke up on the wrong side of the blossom and stung me. And then we had to Google if it will be okay because that was the main concern.
Yes.
But...
Yeah.
The pollinator air is coming together. The large flowered beard tongue is blooming, like big billowy purple flowers. And
yeah. So we did a lot outside.
Yeah. And I sprayed the Creeping Charlie this morning.
Yeah.
The only thing we will probably use chemicals on.
Yeah. Very limited application.
Yeah. I hate it so much.
All right. So we're here for Alpha Flight.
We are.
Seven and eight.
I love these issues.
Yes. I love these issues. I love this drink.
Because I think I only have two Alpha Flights of my own, and one of them is one of these.
Yes. You have two very gay issues of Alpha Flight.
Yes.
One of them is these. The other one is where North Star actually comes out.
Yes. Oh, and I do have number 12.
Okay. Which we'll get to in a couple Alpha Flight episodes.
Yeah. And...
All right. So 7, we have the corner box, which is actually accurate for this issue. Like, it shows which members of the team are in this book. We have North Star, Aurora, and then Shaman and Snowbird.
Yep.
Aurora is back, but North Star isn't sure he's happy about it. And she's standing like over this dude, fist clenched. She obviously just decked him. And we have Jean-Paul in the background looking concerned.
Yeah, it's clearly
stunned. Aurora. Yes.
So
is it the cleavage that tips us off that it's Aurora?
Yes. Okay. Absolutely.
All right. So
the importance of being deadly, yes, which I didn't quite get until I read the issue.
Yes.
It's like, oh.
The importance of being earnest.
Yes.
Yes. It's a play on words.
Har har.
It's a therapist's office where we have Jean-Paul in the waiting room. Reading, I don't know what magazine that is. National Geographic.
Yep.
You probably have the issue that this is based off of.
Oh, absolutely.
And
I like his shoes.
Yeah, he's wearing some almost Adidas.
Yep.
And
the doctor is escorting Jean-Marie out, and it's very clearly Jean-Marie, given the severe bun and the glasses and the tweed.
The cravat.
Yes.
The frilly
cravat.
And it's a Dr. Bossin. They're in Montreal. And just so we know, there is a footnote. This is all spoken in French.
I am so sorry.
They didn't bother to do the bracket since this entire main story is happening between the twins.
Yep.
So just imagine this coming out of French-Canadian mouths.
Yes. So Jean-Paul is like, doctor, what's your prognosis? What's wrong with my sister? Can you fix her? And she's like, I'm perfectly fine. I'm also standing right here. So and doctor's like, we should take this into my office.
Yeah. And
he's like, nothing is wrong with her.
Yeah. She's completely fine. I don't know what you're talking about.
Maybe it's because you had very recently connected with her that you think that there's something wrong. And Jean-Paul looks very grumpy because he can't reveal that they're North Star and Aurora of Alpha Flight.
Yeah.
Because then it would make sense.
Yeah. I mean, he's like, maybe I should find a more competent doctor.
He's so bitchy.
Yeah, he is. I love it. And this is sort of where we get a little flashback where he's like, I discovered that I had a sister shortly after my own powers manifested. We get a little panel of them like having some great times up in the sky, flying around.
Yeah, these fun black suits with the red boots, red gloves, and a red sash. He's got a deep V.
And, well, so does she, for that matter.
True.
And then he's like, then I discovered her secret identity at this school, and she was really uptight.
A stranger to the woman he had known a year before.
So, like... did we ever cover, like, they met and then they took a break for a year?
No.
I don't think that's ever come up.
No.
Okay.
I think this is it.
Okay. Asta's taking a hard nap right now.
Oh, she's oozing into the floor.
Her little eyes. Like, you cannot see the pupils because she is so, so tired.
Yes. It's one of those poses that we have to make sure she's still breathing.
Yes. So Jean-Paul is still like, I can't say anything. I can't tip my hand about Alpha Flight. The doctor's continuing on, like, if you want to waste money and time, I'll talk to her still, but it's not going to do anything.
And he has this really weird, like, you might consider this. Your sister obviously has the potential to be a devastatingly beautiful woman. Is a great pretty. She chooses to leave that potential unrealized. But that's a value judgment, not a psychological one.
I need to call up Chad and be like, Chad, as a practicing therapist, would you ever fucking say this to someone?
Well, we know the answer would be absolutely not.
It's just like this doctor, I'm calling into question his methods and his ability, really.
As Jean-Paul was.
Yeah.
So they go.
Yeah, he's like, come on, let's have some lunch.
Which, honestly, great idea at all times.
Yes. It's getting me getting to be lunchtime here.
I know, and I've only had two ding dongs and some cottage cheese and pears, which I feel really bad I dumped on just a little bit.
Oh, her poor head with pear juice on it. Pear juice and cinnamon.
Yes.
We've attempted to clean it twice.
She is uninterested in our help.
Yes.
She'll get to it when she gets to it. I mean, the state that she was in when she first came to us.
Oh.
She was dirty from the mean streets of Minneapolis.
But now she's dirty from pear juice that you dumped on her head.
Yes. I already feel bad about it.
I know. So they're walking along, they're like, and Jean-Paul's like, I know this great little bistro we can have lunch at. And they're approaching it, and Jean-Marie's purse gets snatched. Okay. And she is like, oh, fuck no.
Although we should say, like, a main theme of this is how heavily coded North Star's dialogue is and his relationship is with this man, Raymond Belmond.
Raymond Belmond. It rhymes.
It does rhyme.
Oh, we're back to Burr and pulling shenanigans with names.
Yes.
Last episode, it was all the Max.
I know.
And now we have Raymond Belmond.
Yes. And it's ridiculous. But perhaps I've spoken of him, Raymond Belmond. He helped me through some difficult times. And just like, oh.
And Jean-Marie is like, yes, I think I remember that name. It'd be nice to meet some of your friends, Jean-Paul.
Yeah. And it's, I mean, seeds are being planted.
Oh,
and
yeah.
And it's so many seeds. It's like our garden.
Yeah. Like this is, we will get to more of the very queer coding.
Yes.
Throughout these two issues. Like we're going to call it out.
So this is coding number one, and I'll try to keep a tally.
So the purse is snatched. She races ahead, and she is instantly Aurora.
Oh yeah,
the cravat is unbuttoned. That like the frills have parted.
The hair is coming loose. The glasses are sliding down her face, and she decks this guy, but decks him 100 times within like a second because she's fast.
Do I have to borrow a page or two from Dear Wolverine's book?
Yes. I like the reference to Wolverine that they know each other and that they're friends.
Yeah. So North Star catches up because he's using regular people speed, not even gay walking speed.
His natural state is gay walking speed.
Yes.
And Asta.
Oh, Asta's Bun Bun dreaming about treats because her cheeks are twitching.
Yes.
Oh my. Oh.
Oh, she loves the Bun Bun treats.
Yeah, she does.
And so Aurora
at this point
is picking up her purse. She's putting the glasses away. She's letting her hair down.
Literally. And she's North Star is like, perhaps we should move along now. And she's
like, no,
not at all. I captured a felon and I wish to see him incarcerated.
But once they get to the police station and half an hour later, the guy's like, we can't hold him. He works for this guy named Ernest St. Eve.
Bond has been posted. Bond was posted before he even got here.
Yeah. And this Ernest guy, people call him Deadly Ernest. And he is immune, like, to all the...
He's like a crime boss. He is related maybe to the American Magia because they couldn't say Mafia.
Really?
Yeah, comics code. You couldn't say Mafia.
Oh, weird.
Back in the 70s, you couldn't call them zombies either. You had to call them Zuvembies.
I'm sorry, Zuvembies?
Zuvembies. Ask Avenging Hour. I know they're probably listening to this.
Oh, I hope so. They're nice people.
Zuvembies battled the Avengers in the 70s. And they're zombies, but you couldn't say zombies.
So in the legendary game, when the henchmen are Magia goons, they really mean Mafia goons, but yes. They couldn't say it.
Yes.
Oh, okay.
And I think it just developed organically where you just call them the Magia in the Marvel Universe now because they had to use that term.
So they're leaving and Raymond Belmond shows up.
And he's like, I'm so worried, I heard. Yes. Like, you were mugged. Girl, you got mugged.
And then North Star is like, oh, my sister's here. Raymond, may I present my sister, Jean-Marie? And they meet, very nice. And
her reaction as Aurora is different because she says, enchanted, Mr. Belmond. Jean-Paul has told me all about you. So is this something that Jean-Marie buried? Like, how much did North Star disclose to her? And how much of it does the ultra-religious conservative Jean-Marie, has she buried? Where she's like, oh, I think I remember you mentioning him. Versus Aurora, where she's like, I've heard all about you. I couldn't wait to meet you.
Yes. Yes, that sort of makes sense.
I think I would want Aurora as an ally rather than Jean-Marie.
I don't know if Jean-Marie, like when marriage equality was going to be a constitutional amendment. I shouldn't say marriage equality. It was going to be not marriage equality was what people were proposing to put into the state constitution.
Mm-hmm. Of Minnesota.
So in 2012, we were the first state to vote down one of those things. So you had to vote no to shut it down.
To say don't prevent
gay marriage.
Yes. Which is always fucked up how they phrase those things.
It's true. But my folks had a sign that said another Catholic voting no. I don't think Jean-Marie would have that sign in her front yard.
Aurora
would.
Yes.
Yes, absolutely.
And so Raymond's reaction was, he has, as in telling you all about.
Yeah. He's so surprised.
That surprises me a little, my dear.
But Mother Nature has so graciously imparted Jean-Paul's features to a woman where handsome may become beautiful.
What a charmer.
Yes. And like clearly very fond of Jean-Paul. So they go back and Raymond is like, oh, then you have not really told your sister all about me. After all, Jean-Paul, I thought that would have been odd. Gay coding number two.
Yes. And they're in Raymond's restaurant. It's dead. Like, it's lunchtime and there are no customers in there.
But you know what's not dead? The same hanging planters that Heather has in their apartment.
Raymond's a plant gay.
He is. There's like two strings going down all across the top of the window, like two strings going down in another narrow window where it's got three potted plants together.
Yes. It's very and
Quebecois.
Yes. So Aurora emerges and
And Raymond is like so suave and he's like, ah, but who was it that said time is an illusion, lunchtime doubly so? And I don't know if this is real, but Aurora comes back with like leggings and maybe the same blouse, but like cinched and
unbuttoned. It's untucked. Like it's untucked. It was previously tucked into a skirt. She's taken the skirt off
completely.
I think she's using the skirt as her belt.
I think she is.
Because the belt is green. Like she has turned out a look.
Yes. The tweed blazer is gone.
Yes. As she threw that.
Maybe she's made it. Oh, it's the same purse as before. I can't say she made it into a purse to say purse first.
Oh. And
Ford Fairmont, who might be an alien, said that. I feel like that it might be a John Byrne Marvel thing.
And he says, you are chameleon goddess, my dear. Gay coding number three. Like, oh. I'm sorry that
he loves that she turned out a look.
Yes. A chameleon goddess. Like, we're not calling just gay straight men do not call women goddess.
No. And she's like, you're too kind. I do the best I can considering the poor scraps Jean-Marie gives me to work with. And the head card sort of confuses Raymond. He's like, my dear, you say that as if you're speaking of another woman and one you do not especially like. And I love North Star's face in this panel. It's just like his face is serving the same action as kicking someone under the table or stepping on their foot. You'd be like, my sister teaches in a very prim and proper girls' school, Raymond. She tends to speak of that part of her life as if it was someone else. Isn't that right?
I mean, I think I've given you that look a couple times in conversation where I'm like, we're steering this a different way right now.
Is it around my family?
I don't know.
Oh. Hopefully I've picked up on it. I don't know if I have.
Okay. And he's like, please call me Raymond, as your brother does, my dear. We are all like family here. Family. Hey, fam.
Chosen family.
So speaking of more family, we have a daughter emerge.
Yes.
She calls him father. Her name's Danielle. And this is where we get an explanation because North Star's like, Raymond, this is your daughter? But how?
Yay, coding five. And I'm not including the line in here too, where Raymond alludes to that he knows about Northstar's powers. So Northstar, like, who in these issues has been very guarded about keeping their identity secret.
Because he won, you know, like some medals in the Olympics.
Yes.
Maybe due to his abilities.
But Raymond knows him fully and openly because he knows all about Northstar's powers and the fact that he's a mutant. But yeah, so he has a daughter.
Raymond, you are the father.
Yes. And he's, he has an ascot. Oh,
yeah. Gay coding number six. So we're getting a little bit of backstory. She just appeared like 2 months ago out of the blue because she's going to college nearby.
Yeah. And
at McGill University, another Mac name. Which probably fair because
it might actually exist.
McGill is in Montreal. It has to be since this is taking place in Montreal.
Right. So she comes out. She's basically
not Rachel coming Sanders. Out like Northstar Raymond.
Not quite. But she's like the red hair, the mullet, the crop top. Like she's serving Rachel Summers.
She is. This is serving 80s.
It is, yeah,
new wave
grungy things,
not grungy, like new wave. Like she would have those sunglasses that have like one angle on one lens.
I don't know what that means.
Like Grace Jones.
Sure.
Like she would have like some crazy accessories.
Oh, like those big yellow earrings.
Yes.
But she's here. She showed up around the same time that his Raymond's bistro isn't getting any business anymore. And it's because this guy named Ernest St. Eves, which we've heard before, is trying to buy it. And Raymond is saying no. So any regular customers get harassed to the point of not being able to come in.
Mm-hmm.
So.
And then a car pulls up and a couple guys like roll into the restaurant. They're not there for the lunch special.
No.
They are not there for the poutine.
No, and you know it would have been so good.
They are there to like hustle Raymond out to this limo to get harassed.
And the muscle comes in and he's like, you're coming with us. And Danielle's like, and does it take two hulking brutes to kidnap one old man? And Northstar's like, I'll handle this. But the muscle just shoves him into her and knocks them both down. And Northstar is still like, I can't do anything. I can't reveal my powers in front of Danielle.
And they grab.
If he wasn't there, he would have had no problem.
Yeah. And they grabbed Aurora to like force her out to the limo too.
Yeah.
And
she's saying, thinking to herself, she'll play along until we see this St. Eve's person.
The window rolls down. The shadowy figure is threatening Raymond. And he's like, just sell your building to me. I'm offering you the opportunity to retire. Most men your age have spent all their lives dreaming of such peace.
And Raymond is saying no. And the Ernest just palms this guy's face.
And it's a series of three panels where we have the angry Raymond. Then he's very shocked.
Yep.
And then nothing. And he drops to the ground.
Instantly dead. Danielle yells no. Northstar yells Raymond. They basically chuck Aurora into the car
because they think she's Danielle.
Yes,
they're like, this is the daughter, we need her because
she's now the heir and she can sell the building. So in she goes, like, don't follow us or I'll touch her. And she says, Jean-Paul, do as he says. And Danielle can't find a pulse. She thinks he's dead. And then we get this series of close-ups in on Northstar. And this is not a seed. This is not a gay seed. This is like Prairie Moon offers those colossal life planters to start off your garden with. Like,
he's pissed. This is like instant blood feud.
Yes. Feels a great black emptiness open in his heart. A gaping moth threatens to swallow his whole world.
Wow, that's gay coding number seven.
Well, all of this. Until Northstar found Aurora, Raymond Belmond had been the most important person in his life. More than a father, much more than a friend. He had found Jean-Paul scarcely more than a boy, alone and frightened. Friend of what he thought he was and what he feared he might become. And Raymond had led him out of that dark fear into the bright, clear light of self-acceptance. teaching him not to fear his mutant powers or any other thing. Now, with the speaking of four short, sharp words, an iron door has closed upon this chapter of his life, and Jean-Paul Beaubier is alone again. And he is like, I'm going to kill this person.
Yeah.
So we were at six gay seeds leading to a gigantic pre-established live plant planter.
Yes.
Colossal pollinator pack of gay coding. Like, this is why when folks talk about like kink at Pride and why it's important and the leather community being an important part of our queer history, it's because of things like this where folks who had come out had no one, and then they found and grew relationships with folks to pass down like, hey, it's okay to be gay, it's okay to be you.
Mm-hmm.
And that sort of like family structure that was still sort of shattered by the AIDS crisis.
Yeah.
So it was a fascinating read learning about like that aspect of the leather community and its importance in queer history and just like the bonds that it creates between folks. And why chosen family is such a big thing within the queer community. So,
and that is the end of the A story for this issue.
Yes.
We go to something that is even branded Unconnected Interlude, where we are at a mall.
In Winnipeg.
You could tell it's the 80s because there are so many malls in all of these early issues.
Oh, back when malls were a thing. And like, there's a great looking atrium.
So we see this dude playing chess.
And he's like, he wins fairly easily.
Well, he hasn't won. He's like, oh, lunch hour. I'll come back in 40 minutes to finish demolishing you. You can use that time to look at all the bad moves. He grabs a hot dog. And
an ice cream cone.
Yes. And we have a woman walk up and she's like Alec Thorne, or should I say Smart Alec of Gamma Flight?
She's serving a look like all angles, like those shoulder pads, the popped up collar, the gold necklace and gold belt and bracelets, the asymmetrical haircut.
And she says, my name is Delphine Courtney. My employer and I are involved in a project you may find of interest. And they walk away.
And he's immediately enthralled.
And then, continuing the origins of Alpha Flight, let a child be born. It's the background of Snowbird.
Yeah. So we get
an archaeological dig
north of the Arctic Circle. And there's elderly woman, elderly man working at a desk, and they're going over some of the artifacts, a doctor and a professor. And this dude comes up from below and he's like, hey, I found this headband. Isn't it amazing? Like, the metal is different. They don't recognize the culture.
It's Richard Easton is his name. And the dudes in charge of the dig are like, okay, like, let's temper some expectations. Like, it might look cool, but we don't know.
Oh, it might be a Dr. Ruth. That would be more fun than Professor Ruth.
Oh.
But they're like, yeah, we'll catalog it. We can't, like, go too far astray making assumptions.
Yeah.
We are here to document everything properly. Like, we can't let your earnestness, cloud the results of this study. Except he wakes up in the middle of the night and goes back to the headband and puts it on.
He puts it on and then he sees
three gods / goddesses.
Yes. And Nelvana. She's like, I need the precious seed of humanity you carry within you. She wants Richard Easton's D. Dickie Easton, as he's called later.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh no, why would they do that?
She's like, you know what? I will grant you the ultimate fantasy. Look how hot I am. Let's bone.
It's the shaper. The shaper masks her so that she looks young and blonde and beautiful and naked.
And naked, and they do it. And then he wakes up and he's like, the dig is covered up.
And it's been years later. Like, he finds some two dudes who are like, who are you? What are you doing here? And this is government land. Oh, wait, you're that one dude? We thought you died.
Because we didn't say at the beginning of this origin story, it was 15 years prior.
Yes.
To the formation where we currently are with Alpha Flight. And he's like, what? Like, no, all I did was have one really hot night of sex.
And and like that old professor died 8 or 9 years ago.
Yeah.
And they try to get him to come with. And he's like, no, you devils, you're agents of the beast. You won't catch me. And thus does Richard Lawrence Easton flee the lands of men into the realms of madness.
Wow, two of my names included in his.
Oh, no.
True. But he said, oh, dear heaven, you want the headband that can raise tundra, which then connects back to issue one.
Yeah.
Because he is the one who raised tundra, became sort of tundra.
And then got like,
and his demolished
life sucked out of him.
By his own daughter.
Oh, yeah. I don't know, that was, well, Marina and her water spout.
Oh, but also, like, his daughter was the first one to respond.
Yeah. So Shaman floats in, and he, the Great Spirit has moved him to come to this place.
It's a year later.
Yes, he reaches out with soul and mind to tap the hidden powers that swirl across the face of the North. A Preggers Nelvana shows up, as she is, like...
She's been gestating.
Yes.
And she's like, hey, you're a doctor and a mystic. Please birth this thing out of me.
Yeah. If such a sequence of events totally alien to mortal experience can truly be called a birth. And there's a shape-shifting embryo. And so Shaman says, if I do not act quickly to bind it to this reality, it may never possess a human form. Which, was that necessary?
I don't know. Did Nelvana ask for that?
Was the only reason to give Snowbird a human form? Or why can't you just have a metamorph embryo?
I don't know.
So he speaks words that never heard spoken aloud come easily to the lips of the man called Shaman. The binding spell wraps the godling in a cocoon of sweet humanity. And the child is already a year old.
And so if you're doing math, 15 years plus... 8 or 9 plus
the
8 or 9
is built in. So this is like 6 years before Alpha Flight starts.
I'm working up from 15. Yes. Oh. So we will see the continuation next issue.
Yes.
The cover of 8 is Betrayal, where we have Aurora looking back, Northstar coming into a room shocked, cold hands, cold heart. As Northstar is zooming around, he's like, all right, here's the recap of last issue and why I'm zooming around. And
rage is real.
Yeah, a few long hours ago, this is where we get new information. The autopsy has been concluded. There is no reason why Raymond Belmond died. Like, the coroner is like, if I didn't make a mistake, I'd say I killed him by doing the autopsy. Like, he's in perfect health. There's
no reason that he should have died.
I cannot give a cause of death.
Yeah. And did you already say that Northstar has cried long and hard this day?
No.
Oh, he did. And by the time for tears is over.
So he looked up Ernest St. Ives's public address, which this crime boss has no chill because he's like, yeah, here's my huge mansion. It's publicly listed in the phone book.
Yeah. And it's got like two, like, those garages that look like barns side by side. And Northstar crashes through an upstairs window.
He says he lives well on his ill-begotten gains, this deadly Ernest. And it's like an abandoned bedroom. Like, this man has so many rooms that one of them is just dusty and unused.
Like, it's a strange smell to this place. Musty, old, like ancient death. Which we'll find out later. Is not because the building is old and musty, it's because Ernest is old and musty.
So he's searching around, he's like, I need to find my sister. We cut away to a caped crusader.
Well,
oh,
we should say
okay
that Northstar is worried about Jean about Aurora. With her split personality, at times of stress, she sometimes regresses, retreating into her dowdy. Points for use of the word dowdy.
Because it's extremely accurate.
School mistress persona. I pray that this has not happened this time. Northstar may have need of Aurora for Mr. St. Eves to get his comeuppance. And then he opens the door and is shocked. And
he's like, huh?
Yes.
It's a huh to page turn.
Yes.
And this is where we get a caped crusader.
It is Nemesis. She is at this hotel doing not hotel things, like where one guest is engaged in activities not usually connected with the hotel. Like, what does that even mean?
Sleeping, eating.
Sexing. But she is praying over her sword. Sanctify my blade, O Mother Night, that I may seek out evil in your dark places.
No.
Grant me. It's like very Skyrim and the Brotherhood.
Yeah.
Grant to me the strength and wisdom necessary to my calling. Guide my hand and eye that retribution may prevail. For upon your fingers, the precious minutes of your life. Count upon your fingers, the precious minutes of your life, Ernest St. Eve. Your reign of death and terror is over. So speaks Nemesis.
We cut back. North Star is stunned to find Aurora sitting on the desk, sort of provocatively with Deadly Ernest.
Oh, Jacques, you have found me. And North Star is very confused before he gets hit upside the head.
Yeah, a slapjack comes out of nowhere, hits him on the head. He is out cold. And she's like, he's my cousin, Jacques.
Yeah, totally. And so Deadly Ernest is like, oh, please forgive my men. Well-paid and disinclined to take the time to investigate the family tree of potential attackers.
And he's like, but he really looks like you. And she's like, our moms were cousins.
Were identical twins.
Yes.
Because they are cousins.
Yes. They toss him on a bed. They're like, I guess we'll treat him nicely.
Back in the musty old bedroom, lock the door, and several hours later, he wakes up and a sword is at his throat. Do not move, or you may lose more blood than you can afford.
And it's Nemesis, and she's like, do you work for this dude? And Norsair's like, nah.
Yeah.
Why don't we team up? Because I have a reason. You have a reason to be here. I don't know what it is, but...
I love this description. Like, quickly, simply, Norsair tells his story to the woman in blood and ebony.
Yeah.
She's got that ebony mail. So she's like, okay, fine, Norsair, you can help me. And he's goes to the door, it's locked, and she's like, no matter. She just like,
because her sword, her sword is scarcely an atom's width thick.
Yeah, so she can slice in between molecules.
Sure.
Okay.
Yeah, you wouldn't be able to see it, but okay.
Also, that's how in that one episode of X-Men Red, the Shi'ar Imperial Guard, there's a very hunky person, but he collapses in on himself because someone with a molecular chainsaw breaks his shielding.
Oh. All right. So they're searching through the mansion. We cut to a very long table where Aurora and Deadly Ernest are at opposite ends having a dinner.
It's very Beauty and the Beast.
It is. And she gets his backstory. He was a soldier in World War One. He got blasted and he was super injured. Then the mustard gas rolled into the trench.
He saw death and denied her touch.
Death is like, you want to come with me? And he's like, no.
With every fiber of his being. So ultimately he found himself alone. Death was gone. The gas was gone. His wounds, his pain, also gone.
And someone found him. He's like, hey, let me help you up. He gets to the top of this crater and
reaches his hand up. The dude grasps it to pull him out and the dude dies.
So Aurora is like, that was a long time ago. Like, the First World War was decades ago.
And she's like, sounds like he even believes this ridiculous story. And he's like, yeah, but time has only made me stronger. In fact, sometimes I feel I shall never die. And that's when Nemesis and North Star come in. And Nemesis is all, your guards are indisposed, Ernest St. Eve. You must face me now, alone.
And Northstar's like, indisposed? She has a curious way of describing the path of carnage she has carved through this house.
Yeah, I don't think they're alive anymore.
Oh, no.
So she is like, you've had a good long run, longer than you deserved, but the time has come for you to face a blade of retribution. Only your death will bring peace to my soul and the soul of my father. Which Northstar was like, father, dot, dot, dot. And I was like, great, I don't need to pretend to like this guy anymore.
Yeah, so battle ensues.
And Nemesis misses. She cuts off a corner of the table.
He,
and
Deadly Ernest reaches for her head to like do the death thing on her.
And the big hand closes over her. The woman called Nemesis feels her insides turn as if a corkscrew turn or a corkscrew of ice has suddenly pierced her.
But
not this time, St. Eve's. Now it is St. Eve's that turn to feel his stomach churn, for his grip of death has never failed before.
And she chops off his arm.
If she does.
And then on top of it, like, because Northstar is like, Danielle, no.
But she slices him and dices him into pieces.
Yeah, he is dead, dead, dead.
Yeah. And he's like, Danielle, what have you done? And Nemesis is like, that's not my name.
And he tears off her mask, and it's...
The face beneath the mask is not that of Danielle Belmond. It is the face of one who carries upon her shoulders the anguish of the world. And the terrible, lifeless eyes burn into his very soul. And then she whacks him on the head again.
With the flat of her blade.
Yes. And she's like, and what of you, Aurora? Is it also your intent to try to stay me from my holy cause? And Aurora's like, nope. I find that people who have holy causes are better left to themselves. But we should all leave before the police get here.
Minutes later, the twins are flying away. And Northstar's like, I don't like this. We should have waited for the police to arrive. And Aurora's like, none of those people are going anywhere.
Yeah. And in any case, we have to leave to attend to other matters, which Northstar does not understand.
They go to the bistro. Danielle is there.
She's like, Jean-Marie, you escaped? Like, how? And Aurora's like, oh, I didn't have to escape, Danielle. Ernest thought I was you and would not have harmed his partner. And Northstar is rocked.
And so is Danielle. They both say, what? And
she says, it struck me odd that you returned to your father just when St. Eve started to pressuring him to sell his restaurant. By simply going along with his mistaken assumption as to my identity, I discovered your deal with Ernest. And Danielle's like, you won't take me to the cops. And Aurora just trips her.
Yeah.
That's all it takes.
And she's like, Ernest is dead. And if this country had a nice civilized death penalty, you would join him.
But as it is, you will be put away until your hair turns a more natural color. Say, gray.
So an hour or so later, we see Danielle getting booked. And then later still,
they're flying along.
And this is where Northstar is like, oh, like, I thought that, you know, given the strange taste of your Aurora persona, I assumed you romanced yourself to safety. And she's like,
what?
I'm not that big of a slut.
Basically. And he's like, why not? After your fling with Sasquatch, I'm prepared to believe you capable of anything. And she's like, I don't believe it. You of all people dare to pass judgment on my love life. Gay coding.
Yes.
You arrogant, insolent son of a, do not follow me, Jean-Paul. Our partnership is ended. If I never see you again, it will be too soon.
Oof.
And Northstar is left devastated. Don't leave me. I'll be all ... alone. Oh. ... Like, what a day Northstar has had.
Yeah. Real rough day. Continuing the origins of Alpha Flight, Genesis.
Yeah.
And we see basically the 80s version of an SUV.
It's a station wagon.
It is.
Like, it has the little luggage railing on top.
And this is the Hudsons.
Yeah. Heather comes out. Dr. Two Youngman, are you there? Hello.
And he pops out from behind a tree.
It's like, it can't be Heather McNeil. Why, I scarcely recognize you now that you're all grown up. And she's like, haha, it's not McNeil anymore. This is my husband,
James Hudson. And this is where they meet. And then Narya / Snowbird emerges from the woods.
Yes.
And she's like, who are these people, Michael? I have not seen them before.
In peasant chic.
Yes.
And yeah, I feel like these are the first people that Snowbird has met.
Yeah.
And Mac, who was like gobsmacked that Heather knew Michael Two Youngman.
Yes.
And then they're in bed together.
Yeah, that evening they're camped out in the station wagon. And they're like, that chick was weird, right?
And like super weird.
Yeah.
And if she's 20 now, wouldn't she have been around when you were growing up when he lived next door?
Yeah.
Like, that's weird. And then her eyes, unnaturally spooky.
I thought she would have been blind.
But nope. And Mac is like, let's just have sex. I thought it was going to be, let's just go to sleep.
No, they did it. And like, then Heather's right now, like, though, I can't fall asleep a few hours later.
Like, something is so weird.
Good for them for like going at it for a few hours though. In a station wagon. Like, there is not much room.
I don't think the process took a few hours. No. I think it happened and then she just could not fall asleep.
No.
Mac did not have that problem.
Oh, true. Men.
Yes.
And so, she's like, okay, there's something weird. I need to do a little snooping. And she sees naked Narya.
slip out of the cabin and Snowbird hasn't seen her.
So what?
And she's like, Heather's like, why do I feel like she doesn't know I'm here? Because only because I'm downwind of her.
Oh. And then she sees Narya transform into a snowy owl.
And eat a frog.
Yeah. And Heather's like, this is the most disgusting thing I have ever seen. A frog getting eaten. But maybe an overreaction. The next morning, they confront Michael. And
he's like, I can't lie. Like, here's the story.
She's a metamorph. I birthed her a year ago, but she like grew up real quick.
Yes. And then Mac is like, so you're saying she's some sort of half-breed goddess and you're a magician, a sorcerer? And Shaman's like, I wouldn't use those words. That's very white colonial coded.
But also Michael said, like, I wouldn't use those words to describe me, but like, to your understanding, sure, that's what I am.
Yeah. You're
like, you don't understand culturally what I am, but yes, let's just say sorcerer.
Like the concessions that you have to make for other people to understand.
So, and Shaman's like, I hope I can trust you to be discreet. And
and Mac is like, more than that, I work for a government office and I would I want to hire you.
So then they get jobs.
And they become Snowbird and Shaman.
Of Alpha Flight.
Yes.
Copyright on that logo. So.
Oh, acid just rolls up again real hard on the other side. Mm-hmm.
There is a fun letter in the letters page where they're writing to John Byrne and then Denny, who's the editor, Denny O'Neill. John and Denny, what was Pierre Trudeau's reaction to appearing in a comic book? From Anthony Padilla in Stillwater, Minnesota.
Oh.
The response was, Prime Minister Trudeau's reaction to his comic debut is a mystery to us. We understand he saw copies of the X-Men Alpha Flight debut, but there has been no communication from Parliament Hill. Maybe we should consider ourselves lucky.
Oh.
So, Anthony Padilla, if you're out there.
Good job.
Yeah. Fun two issues.
Yeah. So queer-coded. So good.
Oh, wow. And then I think next episode might be a three issues?
Oh,
we have 10, 11, 12 left.
Oh, yeah. They sort of go together well.
Yeah. So, we are hurtling forward in Alpha Flight time.
Yeah. It's so good. These issues are so good.
They are so well constructed. You can see that Byrne is building a world.
And building a team with a lot of depth.
Yes. So.
Yeah.
A lot of fun. Happy Pride to North Star and Raymond Belmond.
R.I.P.
Yeah. Thanks everyone for listening in.
If
you haven't followed us and are bullshitted over on Instagram, please do. X Factor Files Podcast.
Leave a review. Let us know what you think.
Yeah.
Let us know what these issues mean to you.
Yes, please do. And we will catch you next time. Where I forget what, I think X Factor is next week. Who knows? Something is.
Something is. Be well.
Bye.